family reunion every single week. It's amazing. I love that we get to worship together. I love that we have amazing teachers to take our kids and teach them in a way that makes sense to them. I love that we get to join together with those of you online as part of an extended family. There's just so many things I love about Sunday mornings. I just cannot tell you enough how good Sunday mornings are. And we have amazing people here at Leaf River Baptist Church that that serve throughout the week. We have amazing people that serve on Sunday mornings, and it is just always a good time. Hey, last week I started on a series. I started the series on Ruth, the book of Ruth. And we looked at Ruth chapter 1 last week. And so we're going to continue that series. Basically, you know, you can read ahead. We're going to do a chapter a week. And so this week we're going to continue that in Ruth chapter 2. And the goal is we want to just see what it is that God has to show us through this passage, right? That's our goal every week that we come together. And I know, and I think this is true about a lot of us, I know that as I grow as a follower of Christ, as I grow in my relationship with God, God continues to show me new things in passages that I may have read 100 times. God continues to just bring new things to me. And so with that in mind, I don't care how many times you've read Ruth, how many times you've listened to Ruth, if you've even watched the movie of Ruth, God can still show us something in the book of Ruth. And so I want to ask us to just come with the eyes and the ears of God. What are you going to show me this morning? I know a lot of people, I talked to a lot of people this week, and a lot of people have mentioned how they really resonated with Ruth and with Naomi last week, and how good it was to kind of think about Naomi and what her part in this story is, and what Ruth did and what Ruth left and what Ruth was going to, and it was really good, right? And it's encouraging. That's super encouraging to me when I have comments like that, when I have conversations like that, because what it does is it really shows me that as a church, we are continuing to grow, that we are growing spiritually, and we are growing in our effort to live a life pleasing to the Lord, because that's our goal, right? Our goal is to live a life pleasing to the Lord, and when we continue to grow and progressively are sanctified closer and closer to Christ, that's pleasing to the Lord. And so last week, just a little bit of a recap, last week we left off with Naomi being bitter towards God. Remember, Naomi became a bitter person. She was so bitter that she changed her name to Bitter. I mean, how bitter do you have to be to change your name to bitterness? That's rough, right? But that's where she was. She changed her entire identity to a person of bitterness. It's a pretty far drop. However, something interesting is going to start to happen this week. We're going to start to see a change in Naomi and in Naomi's life. And ultimately, we're going to see how God is working in her life. And maybe we can see how God is working in our lives as we see how God is working in Naomi's life. Before we go too deep, though, I want to ask folks a question. I wonder if there's anyone here, and if this is you, just kind of know it in your head, if there's anyone here that has ever restored a car or a house or a piece of furniture or anything, like if you've restored something back to its original or sometimes even better condition. And I ask that because if you've done that, then you understand what it takes to restore something to its glory, right? And I can remember for my part, I'm not a great restorer, but my dad was a much better finished carpenter than I was. And so he had this old china cabinet and dining room table and buffet, and he had some old furniture that had been given to him and mom. And he restored that. And I remember the china cabinet specifically, and I'm going to talk about that just because that's going to be coming to live in our house one of these days. And so I remember watching him, and he tore the china cabinet apart so that he could strip it down and build it back to the point that he needed it to be, to the point that he wanted it to be, right? He sanded it down and got all of the old paint and gunk off of it. He reinforced the various pieces. If there was a weak board or something, he reinforced that properly. And then in the end, he finished it with the stain that he and Mom wanted, right? And it became a beautiful piece. And the reason I say that is because you have to tear down to get to the inner parts so that you can fix the insides. And then once you fix the insides, then you can start to fix the outsides, right? To restore something properly, you don't just slap a new coat of paint on it. That's not restoring it. That's just covering it up, right? And so so he got to the inner parts of the cabinets and made changes so that everything would fit together properly. And what's interesting about that is that that's exactly what God does to us, right? God actually takes us apart and changes our insides so that our outsides will eventually change. There's a pastor and a theologian by the name of Warren Wiersbe, and here's what he says. Before God changes our circumstances, he wants to change our hearts. If our circumstances change for the better, but we remain the same, then we will become worse. God's purpose and providence is not to make us comfortable, but to make us conformable. Conformed to the image of his son, Christ-like character is the divine goal for each of his children. So it seems that God, before God can change Naomi's circumstances, he has to begin to work in her heart, right? And what we're going to see today is that God is working in Naomi's heart, and he's doing that through Ruth, through her daughter-in-law, Ruth. What we're going to see in this chapter is that we're going to see that circumstances change. There will be change in circumstances, but ultimately we're going to see Naomi's bitterness fade away. Naomi's bitterness is going to begin to fade away. And what's amazing is that Ruth's story, the story of Ruth, this book, begins with the death of a husband, with the death of children, but it ends in the birth of a son. Through Ruth. And so that's amazing because God changes the heart and then he changes the circumstances. So I think that there's reasons for that though. I think that there's reasons that God is able to work in Ruth's life and in Naomi's life. And I want to talk about those a little bit this morning because I think that there's some things that we can do in order to be able to see what God is doing or attempting to do in our lives. And so that's what I want to look at this morning. This morning I want to pay attention to three ways that Ruth lived. And we're going to see this throughout chapter 2. We're going to see these three ways that Ruth lived. Ruth lived that allowed both Naomi and Ruth to see God working in their lives. To see what God was up to in the midst of all of these circumstances, right? And as we see these three ways that Ruth lived, hopefully, maybe, we can be encouraged in our own walk with the Lord to say, I'm gonna live in view of that example, and I'm gonna live my life in that way and pleasing to the Lord. And we're gonna see a softening of Naomi's bitterness, allowing her to begin to see God do amazing things, right? And so let's go ahead. Let's turn over. Turn over with me, if you will. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles in the back. We have the YouTube app with all of our notes on there, and the scriptures will also be on the screen this morning. But let's start with Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. So we're going to start right there, right? And in this, we see a scenery change. There's a change in scenery, right? Because Ruth and Naomi, they have left Moab and they have come back to Judah. And now they're in this place, and they have two widows with no income, with no option for their life. There really are very few options for widows in this time period, okay? Widows in this time, they could either turn to prostitution. They could search for a man to marry and provide for them in that way. Or they could get to work themselves doing exactly what Ruth is about to do here. Okay, and what we see is we see here a little bit of Ruth's character as she says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to work not only for myself, but I'm going to make sure that I provide enough for my mother-in-law. Okay, and so we see a little bit of Ruth's character here. And through this short passage, we see, first of all, that Ruth lived by faith in God. Ruth lived by faith in God. It's interesting because Ruth knew some things to be true because she's been in this family for a little while, which means she's studied the scriptures for a little while. She's learned some of the various laws over the time that she's been there. And so Ruth would have known that there is a law put in place by God to protect poor widows and to protect foreign aliens, those that are living, that are coming in from outside, from other regions. That there are actually laws put in place by God for them to be protected and for them to be provided for, right? And so Ruth knows that. And Ruth says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to follow these rules in order to provide for her and Naomi. And so she says she's going to go glean behind someone, which basically gleaning behind somebody, what that is walking behind those that are harvesting and picking up the scraps. Okay, that's what that is. They didn't have combines, you know, back then, and so they couldn't drive the machinery through and not miss a speck. They had people going through that would pick off the wheat or the corn or the whatever it is that they were growing. And they would inevitably drop things, right? And so the gleaners, these are the people that would come in behind them, and they would pick up just the scraps that were dropped on the floor, on the ground, that maybe were squashed into the mud, and they would pick them up, and then they would take those, and that's how they would eat. That's how they would be provided for. This was a form of charity that God had put in place because of his concern for the poor among them. Okay, so they could not, the harvesters could not go through the harvest and then go back a second time. That's not something that they could do. Anything that they dropped was set aside for those that would come after them, right? Those that were poor, those that were marginalized, those would be protected in that way, and they would have the opportunity to eat. Basically, the nation was instructed to treat the poor, listen, this is important, to treat the poor with equity and generosity. They were instructed to treat the poor with equity and generosity, which meant that they were not allowed to mistreat the poor or the foreign among them, the widows, the ill, the diseased. They weren't allowed to mistreat those individuals, right? And beyond that, they were called as a nation to provide for those in need. And Ruth has been taught that. She's been taught in the ways of the Lord. And so she would have known. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18. It says, he executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner being the foreigner, the traveler, giving him food and clothing. This means that Ruth has every right, according to the Jewish law, according to the Israelite law, that Ruth has every right, based on the law of the Lord, to go through and pick up the scraps. That's the law that they are living on. However, there's more to it than that. There's more to it than just going and picking up the scraps, because not everybody, I know you would find this hard to believe, but not everybody has good intentions. And so it's potentially dangerous to go out and glean behind certain people. And so she said that she wanted to glean in the field of someone in whose sight she has found favor. In other words, she wanted to glean in the field of somebody that was going to be nice to her, that was going to not be mean, that was going to treat her well. She wanted to go and glean in those fields, in the field of a friendly person. You see, she has faith in the Lord to send her right away and to send her to the right place. She has faith in the Lord that she is going to go, and she doesn't know. Listen, Ruth doesn't know anybody from anything, right? She is a foreigner. She just got here, and she's saying, look, we need to eat, and I know that I'm allowed to do this, and so I'm going to go out, and I'm going to trust the Lord to lead me into the right place. That's what Ruth is doing here. This is an act of faith, because being a stranger, she doesn't know who owns what fields. She doesn't know who, you know, where's the nice area, who's the nice owner. She doesn't know any of that. There were no boundary markers even in the fields, right? Like today, for the most part, I think most farmers know where their land ends, and other people know, okay, this is, you know, this is Ray's land and this is Merle's land, and like there's some kind of dividers in the land. But in that time, there wasn't. There was just fields. Just everywhere, fields. There's no boundary markers for these fields. There's no fences or family name signs or nothing like that. And so she, as a woman, as an outsider, she is especially vulnerable to be going out by herself. She's incredibly vulnerable. She had to be careful where she went. Besides this being an issue of needing food, this was also an issue of safety for her, right? Because by the providence of God, she could have been assaulted if she went to the wrong place, if she went behind the wrong people. Things could have been negative for her, right? But through God's providence, Ruth gleaned in the portion of the field that belonged to this guy named Boaz. She found herself into that area. The record of Ruth says, happened. Ruth happened to come to this portion of the field. Coincidentally, Ruth just happened to show up there. She didn't plan to show up there. She didn't know where she was trying to show up. She just happened to be in the right place at the right time. How amazing is that? The thing is, this was no accident, because her steps are being guided by the Lord, because she's living a life in faith following the Lord. And we see that. We know that we can see God working in our lives in many ways. Actually, there's going to be some passages. I want you to look these up yourself. But we see that God is constantly, constantly working with us, working in us, and working for us. God is constantly working in us, for us, with us, in us, and for us. God is constantly accomplishing his purposes. That's what God does. We pray. We seek his will, and we make decisions, and sometimes those decisions are mistakes, right? Like I think all of us can look back in life and say we know that we have made some of the wrong decisions, right? But it is God who orders the events. It is God who guides his willing children to the places that they need to be. We can't explain it. We just can't. But we can believe it. And we can believe it because we see that Ruth is living a life by faith in God, and she is learning more and more about God every single day. And we see this not just in Ruth. We see this throughout other stories. We see how God is working in the lives of those in Scripture, and then we can start to look and see how God is working in our own lives. Day by day, we're growing closer to the Lord as we're walking by faith in him. But that's not all that Ruth did. Ruth also lived by the grace of God. Ruth lived by the grace of God. You see, when Ruth set off that morning to go and glean, she was looking for someone that would show her grace. She didn't know who. She didn't know where. She didn't know how. but she was looking for someone that would show her grace and whose eyes she would find favor in. Remember, she wanted to find favor in their eyes. So grace, what is grace? Grace is favor bestowed on someone who doesn't deserve it and can't earn it. Grace is favor bestowed on someone who doesn't deserve it and can't earn it. Ruth was at the lowest rung on the social ladder. Ruth was the lowest of the low. She was a woman, she was a widow, and worst of all, she was an outsider. She wasn't just any outsider, she was a Moabite widow. Moabites are nasty, Moabites are dirty. That's how they were seen. As a nation, the nation of Moab was started with an incestuous relationship between Lot and his oldest daughter. That's how Moab started. Ruth did not deserve anything. But let's take a look and see what happens and see how God's grace carries Ruth. Let's start pick up in verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to the people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." And then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean among even the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." This is amazing. Boaz has absolutely taken notice of this young woman, and Boaz seems like a pretty upstanding guy. Boaz is not a 20-year-old man. He is an older man. He knows how life works. He knows that there are some sketchy people in some other fields, right? And so he directs her to stay there because there she can be safe. Remember, most Israelites at this time, this is in the time of the judges. Remember, in the time of the judges, it says that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Most of Israel at this time is living in a way that is right to, in their own eyes. In other words, they're not living a life pleasing to the Lord. Boaz knows that. Isn't it an encouragement to us to know that even in the midst of a culture that is living outside of the will of God, in the midst of a culture that is living contrary to the will of God, that there are still people that God is working in their lives to do good things. There are still people in the midst of, of evil cultures that God is working in. There's still people that desire to serve Him, even in the midst of the selfishness and the selfish desires. Boaz knew the Lord and sought to obey His will. Boaz knew the Lord and sought to obey His will. Boaz was concerned about his workers and wanted them to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Boaz actually cared for the people that were in his field. That's why he asked about Ruth, right? Boaz meets her, blesses her with safety and security. And isn't that a beautiful picture of Jesus and His relationship with us? Right? Ruth is a lost sinner outside of the covenant of God. She has no claim to mercy. And just like that, we sit on the outside of God's grace with no claim to His grace, with nothing that we've earned, nothing that we can say on our own that I deserve this, yet we have it. Because like Boaz took the initiative to meet Ruth, Boaz went out of his way to meet Ruth. God has taken the initiative through the sacrifice of His Son Jesus to meet you and me, and to welcome us into His family through faith. You see, Ruth stepped out in faith in search of grace, and God has used Boaz to deliver grace to Ruth and Naomi. What's amazing is this picture of God's grace. The master became like the servants so that he might show his love to a foreigner. The master sat with the servants in order to show his love to a foreigner. Did you notice that Boaz was not only concerned with her having enough food? He wasn't just concerned with her having the bare minimum, just enough to get by. That was not his concern. He was concerned with her safety while working. Because had she ended up on another field, had she ended up working with another family, this would not have been possible. You see, she could have ended up working in a field with workers that could have insulted her, could have harassed her, could have assaulted her. However, by the grace of God, by God's grace, He led her to a field of Boaz. And in this field, He led her there at the time when Boaz showed up. He put her in the part of the field that Boaz actually saw. That's a whole lot of happened by for God to not be involved. See, Boaz is doing all this for her, but she believed his words, she believed what Boaz said, and her needs were met. Jesus Christ came to this earth as a servant to save us and to make us a part of His family. He shared with us the riches of mercy, love, and grace. He offered all of that. God's grace redeems us. And I want you to look at what happens here, because this is amazing. Naomi, way back in the beginning, Naomi left full and returned empty, running from God. But Ruth left empty and returned home full, running towards God. That's just the reality of our lives. When we run away from God, we get emptied. When we run towards God, we get filled. That's the difference that the Lord brings. Now, I know that there are some people here this morning and that there are some people joining us online that would say something like, but Pastor Billy, I don't feel full. Pastor Billy, I am trying. I feel like I'm running towards the Lord. I feel like I'm giving it everything I have to move towards the Lord, but I don't feel full. How do I get to the place to return full the way that Ruth and Naomi are? Well, here's the next thing that Ruth did. Ruth lived with hope in God. Ruth lived with hope in God. That's a big word. It's a big word with a big, big meaning. We talked last week briefly after the service. We talked about hope. We talked about how in this war overseas in Europe right now, that there are a segment of people that have hope that even if they perish in this war, even if they don't make it, they have hope because their hope is in Jesus Christ, and they have a hope for eternity. Meanwhile, there are others in this war that have no hope. Christians have hope, but those without the Lord have no hope. Well, Ruth shared with Naomi this newfound hope that she has. And Naomi is about to change her perspective. Naomi is about to change the way that she's looking at things due to this newfound hope. So, what is this hope? What is this hope? Let's finish out this chapter. Let's finish reading this and see what we can find out, starting in verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So she took it up and went to the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her the food that she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name in whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth, the Moabite, said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter-in-law, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. There's something that this newfound hope has brought to Naomi. Remember last time we met Naomi, she was sharing her bitterness with the women of Bethlehem. She was telling them how God had taken everything from her, right? And that it was God's fault. She was blaming God for her sorrow and for her poverty. She was blaming God on that. And Ruth asked permission to go to the fields and glean. And Naomi, all Naomi said is, "Go, my daughter." She gave her daughter-in-law no words of encouragement, no guidance, no anything, just go. However, now we hear the word "blessed" come from her lips. Naomi is not only blessing her generous benefactor, Naomi blessed the Lord. This is huge change in her attitude. She went from blaming God to blessing God. Naomi has moved from bitterness to blessedness. Naomi had hope in the man named Boaz. So let me introduce you to this man named Boaz. Boaz is a near kinsman to Elimelech, which means he has the ability to redeem Ruth, which means he has the ability basically to bring her under into his family, to marry her and produce for her offspring that would carry on her and her husband's family name, that would protect their land that they actually own. That's the opportunity of this redeemer, right? So this man, Boaz, has the ability to redeem Ruth and Naomi as well. Boaz shows kindness to Ruth. And not only does he show kindness, he takes a personal interest in her situation. You see, it was not just a person. Naomi had hope because of who Boaz was and what Boaz did. Naomi had hope because of who Boaz was. He was a near kinsman redeemer. And what Boaz did, he took a personal interest in Ruth. We, you and I, have hope because of who Jesus is, the Son of God, who Jesus is, and what Jesus did. Sacrificed himself. We know that Jesus came to give hope. The only hope we can possibly find is in the name of Jesus. He came to give us hope, not just for eternity, but he came to give us hope for today. Look with me in John chapter 10, verses 10. It says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly." Another translation says, "to the full," that they may have life to the full, that they may return full. Listen, I know that there are people here and people joining us online that would say, "Pastor Billy, I'm trying, but I just don't feel full." Well, let me challenge you to say, where is your hope? Is your hope in Jesus, or is your hope in your job? Or is your hope in your marriage, or in your finances, or in something else? Where is your hope? It's encouraging to see the changes that have taken place in Naomi because of what Ruth did. It's encouraging to see that someone can go from bitter to blessing. It's encouraging because we've all been there, right? We've all been at a place of bitter. And so it's encouraging to know that I don't have to stay in the place of bitter. You see, God used Ruth to turn Naomi's bitterness into gratitude, her unbelief into faith, and her despair into hope. One person trusting the Lord, one person obeying his will can change a situation from bitter to blessed. One person living the life that the Lord has led you to live can change a situation from bitter to blessed. So, church, I want to ask you a question. Those of you that are sitting here, those of you that are joining us online, I want to ask you this question. Are you willing to be used by God to share that hope with someone else? That's a question each of us has to answer just within ourselves. Am I willing to be used by God to share God's hope with other people, with the people around me? Am I willing to be used by God to change a situation from a bitter situation into a blessed situation? Or are you here this morning hoping, wishing that someone would bring that hope into your life? That someone, that God would use someone to share that hope with you? Maybe you're here this morning and you have received that hope from the Lord, but you've put that hope in the back of your mind because you've been so overwhelmed with various circumstances, with various issues, with conversations, with finances, with work, with time, with whatever. You've put your hope in the Lord, But you have kind of put that hope in the back of the shelf and you're living your life on your own. Maybe that's you. And you need to be reminded of the hope that you actually do have in Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you've received that hope, but you don't understand it. You don't understand what it really means to have your hope put in the Lord. You want to hope in the Lord. You want to give the Lord everything. You want to trust the Lord, but you're just really struggling with the how to. How do I get there? How do I get from empty to full? Listen, no matter what your situation is, no matter what you have experienced leading up to today, I'm going to ask everyone in this room, everyone online, to make a commitment this morning. And this is a commitment between you and the Lord. Nobody else is going to check your grade on this, right? Will you make the commitment to reflect on the hope of the Lord today? Will you make a commitment to reflect on the hope of the Lord today? Not later today. I don't mean like tonight on your way to bed. I don't mean tomorrow. I mean right now. Will you make the commitment to reflect on the hope of the Lord? If you're joining us online, if you're not sure what that hope would be, what that hope should be, if you're here this morning and again you're struggling saying, Pastor Billy, I don't understand this word hope that you keep talking about. It just doesn't make sense in my context, in my situation. Then here's what I want to do. I want to encourage you to reach out to me. And let's just go have a conversation. Let's get a cup of coffee and let's discover the hope of the Lord in your life. Let's do that together. Because the hope of the Lord, the hope of Jesus, is the only hope that takes us from empty to full. It's the only thing. We can try. We can work. We can do all of the things that we think we're supposed to do. We can do all of the church things. You know, we can attend, we can give, we can serve, we can, you know, send money to missionaries. We can do all of the things that we think we're supposed to do. But until we actually put our whole hope, everything we have, into the Lord, then we are going to find ourselves empty over and over and over again. So are you willing this morning to reflect on that hope in the Lord and the realization of where your hope is? Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, I want to thank you for the hope that you have given to us as we seek you, the growth that you give to each of us. Lord, the reality that we cannot do life on our own, that we just can't do it, and we need you. Lord God, this morning, I ask if there's those here, those online that are struggling to find that hope, Lord, I ask that you would give them the confidence to reach out to me or to one of the elders, to someone here at the church, to be able to walk through what hope looks like. Lord, those that aren't here, those that are in our family, our loved ones that we know are struggling, those all around us that we know are struggling, Lord, I ask that you would use us to show them your hope. Lord, those that are running from you, I ask that you would use us individually to show them where hope comes from, and to show them how to be filled instead of empty, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your Son, for the sacrifice, and for everything that you do for us on a daily basis, for your guidance, for your direction, for your sovereignty over the situations in our lives. And most of all, Lord, for your care and protection. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to move to a time of communion, and I'm going to ask our elders to go ahead.